Okay, we're on?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, we still...
Hello.
We still have handbooks and Bibles and tallits and oil that are yours for free. We'd like for you to email right now s4cbible101@gmail.com. I can see it. s4cbible101@gmail.com. And I got confirmation that's what it really says. Now I have glasses on. But we really, you guys, it's free. It's a blessing to someone.
Yes.
Especially when you're visiting the hospital. There's nothing wrong with having some already, you know, if you're allowed to get in the hospital.
No.
But just to be a blessing to somebody else that might need it. You might be stocked up, but if someone else needs it, just why not?
Yeah.
We have it. It's available. Marcos, Greg's friend, does need a Bible, so
yes.
we'll get him a nice little packet
Amen.
Together.
Got one for him.
Amen. And it's just God has blessed us, and so we're allowing that current to continue on, and so we're blessing you. So please take advantage of that. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. Oh, I didn't even show. This is the little.
Do you have time for that?
I don't know. This is the little oils. Amen. So they're all packaged up.
Amen.
But it's here, and we have tallits and everything. So amen.
Amen.
I probably don't. Hallelujah. You guys want to stand one more time? Hallelujah. Those
the
are
kids
in house.
Are clapping. Like, I thought they never get started. God, can you hear back there clapping?
It's not just here, y'all. The family and the boys are just like them. They make me laugh all the time.
Amen.
Hysterical. Our Father, in the name of Son Jesus Christ, Lord, I thank you for this day, dear Lord. I thank you for our beautiful prayer service, dear Jesus. We had an opportunity not only to pray for those that call in or have written us, dear Lord, but those that have visited the house, dear Jesus, and just being able to love on Christina today, dear Jesus. We thank you for that, dear Lord. We thank you for the faithfulness of our pastor, Ben, dear Jesus, that is before your throne so that he can hear you with clarity, dear Jesus, as he speaks and prays for those that come in and asking for prayers. He's attuned with your spirit, and we thank you for that, dear Lord. We thank you for Pastor Sandy, dear Lord, that he was just before your throne, dear Lord, prostrated, dear Jesus, so that he could hear a word from you that would light a fire in each and every one of us. So we thank you today. We bless you today, Lord. We came excited, expecting to hear a word, dear Jesus. We come with our hearts bowed, dear Lord, to hear from you today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you.
Ooh. Hallelujah. You may be seated. We're going to get started. Are you waiting? Are we?
She's still working it out.
She's still working it out? Okay.
And your picture, Pastor, smile.
Jeez.
There you go.
All right.
You're live everywhere else too, Pastor. Now you're live.
Okay, all right. Now we're live everywhere.
Yes.
Praise God.
Amen.
Here we go. I need you guys to go to the book of Hosea, chapter 4.
Amen. And we're live.
What time? What time the Lord woke me up this morning, Drea? About 5:12. I'm like, this has got to stop. All right, you in Hosea, the book of Hosea?
Amen.
And let's read verse 6. It says, "My people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you as my priests, because you have ignored the law of your God. I will also ignore your children." So God is making a statement to not just the priests, because when we think he's talking to the priests, when you come into Christ, you are coming into a priesthood. I don't know if you guys understand that, knowing. It's because the whole purpose of the baptism is because you're entering into priesthood. You first confess Jesus' name. That allows you to go into the temple because the lamb has been slain. And then once you're inside the temple, you have to wash. So that's what your baptism is all about, because you're entering into priesthood. So anyone who enters into the priesthood has to have knowledge of what they're supposed to be teaching others. And I'm saying this for those who are older, but those who are younger in Christ, you have to have knowledge to be able to grow in Christ and defend what you say you believe in, okay? Yes. So either way, God is saying, when you have a lack of knowledge, you will be destroyed, okay? Because a lack of knowledge means that you're susceptible to deception, and it means that you haven't been reading, so you're weak. Try going a few weeks without eating. Mm. And, you know, then see how you feel, you know?
Amen.
But we can go a few weeks without reading our word, and we feel like our spirit man will be okay.
Right.
And Satan knows you're weak, and he's watching you get weak. So the lack of knowledge is the reason why God's people are destroyed. As you get older in Christ, you need to have more and more knowledge of who Jesus is, okay? Thank you. You need to have more and more knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. You need to be able to defend yourself when people bring up foolish things and tell you, oh, well, you know, Jesus wasn't God. He was just the Son of God. And then they say, actually, he was an angel. And you would believe them because you haven't been reading your Bible. So It's like, you know, and then they say, can we come in and teach you? And you're like, sure, come on in, Jehovah's Witness. Mm-hmm. Then now you're sitting there and you're learning a biblical doctrine that is anti-Bible, okay?
Right.
So knowledge is very, very important.
Amen.
But I want you to know this. All the knowledge in the world will not help you if you haven't made up your mind to live for God. Okay? So, because I've seen people that can argue the Bible, but they don't live the Bible, And that's not good. I've always not liked Christianity when I was a kid, because I used to have to go, you know? You have to go to church. And then all the people that you meet at the church, they don't act like that when you see them at home or in the neighborhood, right?
Right.
So it's like, I used to hate it. It was like going to acting class, because everybody would be there and they would be pretending like they're Christian. And they use Christian language and they hallelujah, brother, how are you doing today? God bless you. And all of this stuff. And I was like, God, you know, homie not even cursing. He used to be cursing. But today at church, he's like, hallelujah, brother, God bless you. Is that how's everything? And, you know, I'm praying for the kids. And, you know, so it was just a whole big acting job. And my mother was caught up into it, too, at the time, because she was in the choir. And sometimes they practice at one of the ladies' house. And, you know, they pouring drinks. And I'm like,
ooh.
We're pouring drinks and practicing for the choir.
Wow.
And so church can be a place where people go to act and to be a part of a social group. But I really want to explain to you what real Christianity is, because it has nothing to do with the building. It has nothing to do with you going to buy a cross and you wear your cross all the time. It has nothing to do with any of that.
Right.
Being a Christian has to do with your day-to-day personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Okay? My people perish for a lack of knowledge. Okay. If we're in relationship, you want to get to know me and I want to get to know you, right? If you don't want to get to know me, then you don't really want to be in a relationship. Now, if you're going to get to know God, you're going to have to read his word. if you really want to get to know him. If you don't want to know him, you can just ignore it and just say, I know you exist. Mm-hmm. But how many of you know I can know you exist and we're not in a relationship?
Right.
I'm like, you go to my school, I don't talk to you, and I don't want to know you, but I know you exist. But are we friends? Or are we in a relationship? No. But if I spend time with you, now I'm showing you that I have the interest to want to know you. And so a Bible with dust on it, and you haven't got to know the God that you say that you believe in, and the religion that you say you follow, is a waste of time.
Amen.
And I would hate, and I'm saying this now because someone told me, Pastor Sandy, I had a dream, the rapture happened, and I was left. And I woke up, I couldn't sleep. And I was like, bro, that's a serious dream.
That's serious.
This past week, I was like, I don't want to have that dream. I was like, I don't even want God to give me a hint of that dream.
Mm-hmm.
He said, it was so sad.
No.
And I said, well, are you doing anything you shouldn't be doing? He says, well, I'm kind of mean, you know, around the house, but, you know, I always ask forgiveness. I said, well, that's good you ask forgiveness. I said, can you stop being mean? So I'm just saying, at least he was trying to say, look, I know I have some problems, and this dream just woke me up.
Yeah.
It's a blessing because this dream just woke me up. I realize that maybe I'm not ready. And I'm like, are you in your word? Are you studying? Are you spending time with the Lord? Are you praying? Are you in relationship? Basically, when I'm saying, are you studying your word? Are you praying? Are you doing this? All I'm saying is, are you in relationship? Okay? Because if you told me you had a boyfriend, I would go, well, when's the last time you guys went out? When's the last time you guys spent time together?
Mm-hmm.
What'd you do last?
Mm-hmm.
I would be asking questions about, do you guys talk a lot? Does he make you laugh? I would be wanting to know, like, how is the relationship going?
That's right.
But if you say, oh, we don't spend time together, we just consider each other. I'm with you. You know what I mean? And he go, I'm with you. And it's like, but you don't know each other, right? It's foolish, right?
Right.
This is the same thing that people are doing with Christianity when you come to church and he's not a part of your day-to-day life.
That's right.
Okay? I'm going to say this. I don't really want to because people will say stuff. Mother Niara gave me a book. And I told you guys about this a while ago. She gave me a book called the Satanic Bible. And she said, the Lord told me to give you this and told me to tell you to read it. And I said, no, he didn't. So she goes, I'm sure the Lord spoke to me. Just take the book and I want you to read it. And he wants you to read it. So, you know, I didn't want to hurt her feelings because she's an older lady. And I want to like, okay, I put it in the trunk in a bag. I tied that bag up. And I left it in the trunk. And the Lord told me one day, like, you didn't read the book that she. So I was like, I don't want to read that book. I'm like, that ain't the Lord speaking to me. I rebuke you. I was trying my best not to read this book. So finally, the Lord kept bugging me about, you need to read the book. So I got the book out. I'm like, let me go read it where ain't nobody seeing me. You know, I was like, crack it open. That's how Pastor Sandy read the Satanic Bible. I don't go to this church no more. That was strange. So I'm sitting here and I'm reading it. And it starts off like this. Satan is not interested in your praise, your singing, or your acknowledgement of him. Satan is only interested in your knowledge of him. All he wants you to do is study this book and to read it word for word over and over until it becomes a part of you.
Wow.
That's how it started off.
Wow.
I was like, Satan knows that if you read and study something, mm-hmm. that'll get into your system and it'll become part of you. He's like, I don't even, when you come, he says, I don't even want to hear your singing Are you praising me or nothing? I just want you to read, study, and get this knowledge inside of you.
Wow, that's deep.
And God is like, look, Satan knows that, and I know that. Christianity is the only religion that I know that you can get started and they don't require you to read.
Amen. That's sad.
Because if you join the Jehovah's Witness, they put you in a study course right away. You join Mormonism, they not only put you in a study course, they send you on a mission trip for 2 years. So everybody wants you to study so you can get the material inside of you. This is why God is telling you to study to show thyself approved. It's not just the study to show yourself approved. Every time you read the word of God, it's flushing out trash.
Yeah.
And it's giving you knowledge of God. And it's helping you grow. And it's giving you wisdom so you make better decisions. It's doing a lot for you. So you have to know. Now, in reading that book, I realized why God wanted me to read it. The kids were watching Pokemon and all these things. All of the names in these superhero things were real names of demons that were in this book. Because the first thing they gave you was the names of all these demons. Now, I didn't finish reading it. But after I read all the names, God said, okay, now put it away. God wanted me to know that all those characters in the Pokemon and the, all these little cartoons that people are watching are real demonic names. Did you know that Dracula is the chief demon in the book of Satan?
What?
And y'all thought they just came up with that name. No, it's Dracula is the name of a real demon. So I learned that by reading this book. But after I read the names, the Lord said, okay, now put it away. You don't need to read it no more. What you needed to know was that they know who they are. And they know that you need to get knowledge of this to get into your system. And Christians need to know you need to have the Bible inside of you so it gets in your system.
Yes.
So you can live it out. Okay?
Yes. Amen.
I want us to go to the book of Isaiah chapter 1. I'm doing this partly because of that call and partly because the Lord said 7 churches are about to leave. And everybody that confesses Christianity will not go. Everybody who says, but the scripture says that. Everybody says, Lord, Lord, will not enter the kingdom of God, right?
Amen.
But there's a lot of people that say, I can't wait for the rapture. And God is like, their excitement is in vain because they think because they have knowledge of the rapture,
mm-hmm.
they're ready to go. And I and God said, prepare you to leave. So I got to make sure that you know what's the truth and what's a lie. Okay? Going to church is not the truth. It's part of a truth. It's coming into fellowship with other Christians and being in an atmosphere where people are learning the word and praising God.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of the solution.
Yeah.
It is not the whole solution.
Amen.
Because if you don't take what's here home, then it was a waste of time. Okay.
Amen.
Are you in the book of Isaiah?
Yes.
Chapter 1. I'm going to start reading here at verse 2. It says, hear, O heavens, listen, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I reared up and brought them up, but they have rebelled against me. The ox knows his master, the donkey, his owner's manger, but Israel does not know. My people do not understand. A sinful nation, a people loaded with guilt, broods of evildoers, children given to corruption. They have forsaken the Lord. They have spurned the Holy One of Israel and turned their backs on him. Why should you be beaten anymore? God is like, this is how God was. Like, I'm so tired of whipping you. I'm just tired of whipping you.
Mm-hmm.
I just want you out of my house. God got so tired, like, I don't even want to whip you no more. My arm is tired. Just get out, right? You have to understand what the Lord is saying here, okay? Because it says, why should you be beaten anymore? Why do you persist in rebellion? Your whole head is injured. Your whole heart is afflicted. The sole of your foot to the top of your head, there is no soundness. You understand? There's nothing that makes sense with you. Only wounds and welts and open sores, not cleansed or bandaged or soothed with oil. Your country is desolate. Your city burned with fire. Your fields are being stripped by foreigners. Right before you, laid waste when overthrown by strangers. The danger of Zion is left, like a shelter in a vineyard, like a hut in a field of melons, like a city at siege. Unless the Lord had left some survivors, we would have become like Sodom and Gomorrah. It says, hear the words of the Lord. Hear the words of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. You hear? He's called, Sodom's been destroyed for years. He's talking to Israel. He's saying, hear the words of the Lord, O Sodom. Mm. Listen to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. The multitude of your sacrifice, what are they to me? You know what they were doing? They were coming to church every week and they were bringing their tithes. God goes, what is that to me? Who are you paying off? Look what he said. Look what the Lord's saying. He said, the multitude of your sacrifice, what are they to me, says the Lord? I have more than enough of your burnt offering or rams or fattened or your fat of your fattened animals. I have no pleasure in the blood of bulls or lambs or goats. When you come to appear before me, who has asked you for it? Who has asked this of you? This trampling of my courts. Stop bringing me meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. This is how God feels when people go to church and then leave and go home and be themselves.
Right.
It's like, who told you to do this? I don't need this from you. Mm. All in the choir. I'm lifting him up. He's my chest. And go home and the person singing is not that person.
Right.
And God is like, do you think that I live in a church and I don't go home with you? Do you think that I don't see you when you go home?
Right.
What's the problem here? Mm-hmm. But he's saying, this is a waste of your time and mine. I'm so glad there's some men that call and they say, Ryan's helping them so much. He said, they say, because it's like ironing, sharpening iron. He says, they realize that there's things in their life that need to be adjusted. And they're getting them adjusted. You understand?
Yeah.
And people sometimes need to hear, look, you can do better than this.
Yes.
Like the girl that was leaving profanity on all of her posts. And I'm like, hey, this might not be, I don't think the word Jesus and the F word belongs in the same sentence. You might want to change this.
Right.
To me, it made good sense.
Good sense.
To her, I was judging her and I was blocked. So I'm just saying, if in your own mind you have Christianity and you have all of this insight for yourself, but you're not open to the Holy Spirit's correction, you're dealing with something different. Understand?
Amen.
I'm going to finish reading this. It says, stop bringing me meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. New moon Sabbaths, convocations, I cannot bear your evil assembly, your new moons, your festivals, your appointed feasts, my soul hates. God is the one who appointed those.
Right.
But now he's saying, I hate them. Why does he hate them? Because I don't like that you come here and you bring them and then you go home and you're somebody else.
Right.
Because the Holy Spirit can say, be quiet.
Oh, my goodness.
The Holy Spirit can say, be quiet. I thought Drea was such a Christian yesterday. Pastor Ben manager came out and got into her. Boy, we just stopped by to take a gift upstairs. And you know your manager, she jumped into Drea. She didn't even see me yet. She was like, bah, 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 bah. You can't put your card in. Drea was like, okay, ma'am. God bless you. I was like, ooh, Drea's a real Christian. Because it doesn't matter what the other person does.
Right.
Because I'm squeezing you. You the orange?
Right.
I want to see orange juice when I squeeze you. That's all. You're a Christian. I want to see Christ when I squeeze you.
Right.
That's all I want to see.
Amen.
All right?
Amen.
This morning I said, I really appreciate the way you reacted yesterday. She's like, I wasn't paying that lady no more. I just like, God bless you. We get it done. I was like, wow. Because, look, you can say you're a Christian.
Right.
But how you react is going to show people whether you are or not.
Yes, sir.
You understand?
Yes, sir.
When things get tight, how you react is going to show people whether you that person with the Bible on your desk or not. Because you might not be that person if somebody squeezes you. Okay?
Wow, that's
a
good word.
It says, they have become a burden to me. I am weary of bringing them. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Even if you offer many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Encourage the oppressed. Defend the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. Come now. Let us reason together, says the Lord. Listen, this is what God told Cain. If you do right, things would go well with you.
That's right.
I'm going to say that again. God said to Cain, if you do right, make up your mind to do right, things will go well for you.
Yes.
But if you don't want to do right, then sin is knocking at your door, and it desires to rule over you and destroy your life.
Yes.
So you have a choice at that time, like, okay, sin's not ruling over my life. I know it's at my door and it's knocking and it says, hey, we can do this and get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
Cain's like, I can do this and get away with it because nobody will see me. We're in the field. He says, sin's knocking at your door. It wants to rule you. But you, God said, you must rule over it. You hear that?
Yes.
You must rule over it. So if somebody calls you in the middle of the night, hey girl, how you been doing? I ain't seen you in high school. You know, I'd like to go out. Are you saved? No, but I'm thinking about it. And you like, well, let's go out. I'll bring my Bible.
Uh-huh.
Bad decision.
Right, right.
You ain't prayed yet. You just like, I just remember he was cute, right?
Right.
You haven't prayed about it, right? So now you're making decisions that don't have the Holy Spirit involved in it. And it's about what the decisions you make. It's not about what you confess.
Right.
It's about the decisions you make
when
it's time to squeeze your orange.
That's right. Amen.
Hey, man, I just thought I'd stop by and brought a bottle of Johnny Walker Red. White people don't have no idea what Johnny Walker Red is. But black people.
Oh, we know.
Old English 800, Johnny Walker Red. Look. It's your time to say, no, bro, I'm a Christian. God has delivered me from that. You need to step with that.
Right.
Miss me with that one, all right? Come back when your hands are empty and you want to learn the Bible.
Right.
Something in you has to click that I'm a Christian.
Yes.
Because someone up there is watching your decision making.
Yes.
They're watching your decision making. Because it says this, if you do right, things are going to go well for you. But if you desire to let this rule over you, you're going to have to go through the mess.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So, let me just finish.
It's a good word, man.
Come on now, let us reason. Though your sins be like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best from the land. You hear that? If you're willing, are you willing?
Yes.
Because you know what? Your will is your will.
That's right.
It's not God's will. That's your will. You can do whatever you want. So your will is your will. You can talk to people any way you want. You can go anywhere you want. You can do anything you want. And God will not send an angel to block the door. Because God cannot take over your will. So if you will to do right and are obedient, things are going to go great for you. That's God's promise to you.
Yes.
Okay?
Amen.
Yeah, well, let's continue. Let's go to James. The book of James, chapter 1. I'm scared when people tell me, man, I had a horrible dream. Like, oh God.
Yeah.
That means I'm preaching rapture too much and not what this thing is really about.
Yeah.
Because this is, the rapture is a cherry on top of a huge cake.
Thank you. Yes.
You are, the cake is the lifestyle.
Amen.
The walk, the studying.
Yes.
The obedience. That's the cake. If I'm only preaching about the cherry on top of the cake, I'm doing this wrong. Because if that's all you're reaching for, you miss the whole cake. And so I don't want people to say, you know, I had a dream that I didn't make it. I had a dream that, and then, you know, some of the things people confess to me over the phone are things that I know, like, oh yeah, I remember those days. Let me tell you how to overcome that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Pornography. Don't say that, Pastor Sandy. It's real. Men lose their marriages and their common sense over pictures. Have a whole nother relationship with filth.
Yeah.
And so they have to repent.
Mm-hmm.
They have to realize that sin has nothing to do with pictures. That's the Ashtoreth pole.
Right.
Study the Ashtoreth pole. It had filthy pictures on the pole. They went up to the mountain to worship the pole and to do acts on the mountain. Because they were worshiping pornography on that was pictures that were on the pole. So when you worshiping this, it's not just you and your book or your computer, it's you and whatever demon you're conjuring up.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So that's why your attitude changed. That's why you're talking crazy to your wife. You didn't just look at pictures, you invited a demon in. And so this is what the problem with Solomon was. He was going up to the thing and worshiping the Ashtoreth pole. That's why that religion was so hard to break, because it had to do with perversion. And perversion invites demons. And if people don't know that, they think they're just, oh, it's not hurting anybody. Yes, it is. You're inviting demons into your home and into your life. Let's continue. You and James? Okay. I think verse 21. Praise God. It says here, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. That is cool, huh? God wrote this. God wrote this. God wrote the book. He said, don't just read it.
Do it.
Do what it says. Watch this. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forget what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law and that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. He will be blessed in what he does.
Yes.
The blessing comes in what you do.
Yes.
You hear that?
Amen.
Somebody called me and said, man, I'm in jail. I go, what'd you do? Because that don't sound like a blessing.
Right?
What'd you do?
Right.
Because what you do is going to have consequences. Read Deuteronomy 28. Oh. If you want to live a cursed life, all you got to do is walk in disobedience.
Yep.
It will never leave you and you will never leave it. As long as you walk in disobedience, it will follow you around and be your best friend. Everybody else will have a get promoted and you will get fired. I thought I was doing a good job. It had nothing to do with the job you were doing. Cursing is following you.
Yes.
Because this is what you've chosen. You understand? If you follow righteousness, guess who follows you? Blessings follow you. It walks behind you and it can't wait to engulf you and just grab you and hug you and be your best friend. And
yes. This
is God's promise to you.
Yes,
it is true. So I'm just telling you. Decision making is all yours. I got to this park first. While you pull, you know, somebody pull up in there and you like, you saw me waiting for this park? And she's like, oh, I'm sorry. I like your Jesus shirt. I'll back out.
Hello.
I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Are you really a Christian or not?
Right.
A Christian was just like, oh, that's okay, man. You take that one. I'll find another one around the other side. You saw me where I parked there. You. Jesus loves you. I'm saying this. See, y'all got me laughing so hard. I'm saying this because this is how Christianity is.
Yeah.
This is what we need to know. Your blessings and your life depends on your decision making.
Yeah.
Okay? Somebody cursing you out don't mean you have to curse them out. They cursed Jesus out.
Yeah.
They cursed them out and they spit on him.
Yeah.
It said Jesus never reviled them back. Whatever they said to him, and they said some horrible things while he was on the cross.
Yeah.
Jesus never said, your mama too.
He never said that.
He never reviled back. He just remained on the cross. Can you remain on the cross?
Mm.
Or are you getting down to prove who you are?
Well,
you ain't punking me. That's what you see in my neighborhood.
Yeah, me.
You ain't punking me. I'm going to show you who I am.
Right.
I'm from. Dude, shut up. Be a Christian or don't be a Christian.
That's right.
Is you is or is you ain't?
Hey, say it. Pastor Sammy. 10 minutes.
Okay. Ask Pastor. Ask the beer. So anyway, did I finish that? I hope I finished reading that. Do merely, not merely. If you consider himself religious, if any man considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself. And his religion is worthless. Religion that God, our Father, accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after the orphans, the widows, and the distressed, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world.
Wow.
Oh my goodness, Kate. But I like Kanye.
Ooh.
That's my favorite music.
Mercy.
But Jay-Z is my favorite. I used to listen to him when I was in the world. Are you still in the world? No, but his music is still good. What? Don't tell me. Don't do it. My wife said, don't wipe your nose onto camera. You gonna gross people out. But y'all had me laughing. Okay. Thank you. My wife is good. She be like, let me pull you back. I'm not gonna quench that. Thank you, Drea. I was about to gross out people all over the world. Africa, everybody was gonna say, ugh, at the same time. Thank you. See how much a blessing a good wife is?
Amen.
Okay. All right. I want us to go to Revelation chapter 4, and we're going to go backwards from there. I got 10 minutes, and I have to do this. Well, let's go to Revelation chapter 1 first. Okay, verse 19, Jesus talking to John. Write therefore what you have seen and what is now and what will take place later. The mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands is this. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven lampstands are the seven churches. You hear that? Go to chapter 4. You're at chapter 4?
Amen.
Let's start reading at verse 4. Surrounding the throne, because this is what I got to start at the beginning. After this, I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice which I first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. At once I was in the spirit, and there before me in heaven, with someone sitting on it, in heaven was a throne with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper, carnelian, rainbows, resembling a circle, encircled the throne, and surrounding the throne were 24 thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their head. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder, and before the throne were seven lamps blazing. What are the seven lamps?
Churches.
This is what the Lord was telling me. Seven churches are about to leave. Seven churches that have existed since the time of Jesus Christ are about to leave the earth. Okay? So this guy's concern was real.
Yeah.
He knows what time he's living in. Okay? Seven churches are about to leave the earth. These seven churches are Ephesus, Smyrna, Thyatira. They are a clockwise showing you that they each represent a time period in the clock of time.
Yes.
The last church to exist before the rapture is the church of Laodicea,
yes,
which means ruled by the people.
Yes.
And Jesus says, I stand outside of this church. Mm. I don't stand in this church. Yes. I'm outside of this church, knocking, hoping that somebody hears me that's inside there, praise dancing, or doing whatever y'all do in there, would come out and sup with me,
yeah,
and really get to know me.
Yeah.
And so this is what this last church is to God. He says, this is the church that says, we have plenty of everything. We are in no need of God. We got Rolls Royces. We got cars. We got it going on. We don't need Jesus. Okay? And so Jesus is outside of this church because he's not allowed to preach repentance in there.
Right.
Because you want saved, you always saved. So I can't preach repentance in there. So I'm not really welcomed. So Jesus has decided, I'm not even going in there. They can have as much church as they want, but I ain't going in.
Right.
So he says, but I'm standing outside. If anybody in there wants to come outside and get to know me,
yes,
you're more than welcome.
Yeah.
Okay? Because outside the church is a relationship.
Yes.
It's sitting down with the King. It's going over things that need to be changed in your life. Outside of the church is a real friend that's trying to get you to eternal life. Inside the church is entertainment, your wonderful pastor, and falsehood. So Christ is calling. Now, this last church is the last of the seven church, and there's a voice and a trumpet that's about to call them up. Now, I want us to go to Esther chapter 2, verse 9. I'm sorry I'm making y'all guys. Hoping you move through this Bible today. Now, do you guys remember that I told you that Sheba in Hebrew means seven?
Yes.
Yes. She is representing the seven churches. She goes up to see the King to Jerusalem. And when she gets there, she says, it was more amazing and marvelous than I had even heard of. She said, the half of it was not told to me. And her name was Sheba, and nobody said, hey, what does Sheba mean? Sheba means seven in Hebrew. Sheba. So the seven churches went up where? To the King. To see the King. Who? The Prince of Peace. What does Solomon mean? Peace. To see the Prince of Peace. And to see if what she heard was really what was going on. So when we get up to heaven, you guys will be like, oh, this is greater than they told me. You'll be like, the half wasn't even told me. There's a slide that goes around the moon into the water? What? Woo! You're like, we got more than that. The Bible says, with the things that you can imagine, it says, give me the scripture. The things that they... Thank you. You don't have a big enough imagination to know where you're going. That's what God says. You don't have a big enough imagination to figure out how great it's going to be. This is what the Queen of Seven, I'm going to stop calling her Sheba, the Queen Seven went up and visit with the King. Now, when Jesus got rejected by the Jewish people crucified, he made way for seven churches to prepare for one day being called up.
Yes.
When Moses got rejected by his own people and had to leave Egypt, he went to Midian.
Yes.
And married a man's daughter, and he had and how many daughters did he have?
Seven.
That's in Exodus chapter 2, verse 16. Now the priests of Midian had seven daughters, and they came to draw water and filled their troughs to the water to water their father's flock. So Moses ended up marrying one of the seven daughters. So here's another marriage between seven and a Jew and a Jewish leader, right? So now I'm asleep this morning. 5:10, the Lord goes, read Esther. This has got to stop. There are other times to wake people. I'm joking, of course. So I'm in Esther chapter 2, verse 9. And let's... Am I there? Where's 9? I'm going to start at verse 8. It says, when the king ordered the edict, had proclaimed, many girls were brought to the citadel of Susa and put under the care of Haggai. Esther also was taken to the king's place, to the king's palace, and entrusted to Haggai, who had charge of the harem. The girls pleased him and won his favor. Immediately, he provided her with beauty treatments. So as soon as the king saw Esther, he speedily said, get her the beauty treatments and everything. Start her treatment now, because we got to get her ready to go. Because he's like, that looks like the one, right? So they bring her, so it says it, and it says bring her the beauty treatments and special food, and he designed he had assigned to her 7 maidens selected from the king's palace and moved her and her maids into the best place in the harem. So they got the best room in the palace, her and 7 others who are about to marry the king.
Wow, watch out.
So God is like, the church is not the first example of 7 getting married. You guys are the fulfillment of thousands of years of prophecy.
Yeah.
And so the Lord was saying, this is about to happen. Esther got married on Tevet, during the month of Tevet. It doesn't tell you what day. Tevet, the middle of Tevet is, we're about in the middle of Tevet right now. The end of Tevet, we're not, on Monday and Tuesday will be the 15th of Tevet. The end of Tevet will be February 1st, okay? So, but we're in this arena of, you're out of time, your prophecy time is done with, you've got to start looking at important dates now. And so I know that this thing is about to happen, unless God just called me this to make fun of me. Because I'm telling you right now, we have gone through everything, but God told me this is going to be hard. This is not going to be easy. But then the Bible study I gave on Wednesday night, they didn't take it, they took the other one.
Yeah.
Okay, upload. There's a Bible study that goes to this, and I want to go over it with Drea, because it is so precise that God is like, I'm going to show you what I did. And he says, read Genesis 1:6, and here this is, and these numbers are here. Now that's going to lead you to Psalms 117, 117. 7:1:1. That's when the flood began. And then this is going to be the same equals this. And then the Lamed, the shepherd's thing is going to end, is going to show itself in 2021. And it's time for the shepherd to call out the sheep. And God is showing me, like, this is how I worked it all out. Teach it and try to make it simple so they understand. And I try.
You did.
Do I got bubbles? Thank you. I don't want bubbles.
Out of time.
We're out of time. But listen, she laughing because she know about this. You know when they do like this? Listen, what they call that? They's like, that's nasty. When you play football, you get a sack, you stand up and you go like this. You go, that was nasty. Because it's like a kid wiping the snot off his nose.
It's all right, Pastor Sandy. It's all right.
So listen.
Glory.
What does Esther mean? Concealed. Hidden. Okay. It seems to me that God hid some things about the rapture in the book of Esther.
Yeah, he did.
And so I want you guys to know, this has been prophesied from the beginning. The 7 churches leaving and going to marry the king has been prophesied from the beginning. Nothing's going to turn that prophecy down. It's going to happen, okay? Yes. But the Lord today wanted me to say, be ready. Don't fake yourself out. Don't become your own pastor. Don't surf the internet looking for new and better lies so you can listen to. Because when you got 12,000 people preaching on a platform and you're exposing yourself to all of them, you've got to sift through all the lies too. Mm-hmm. Find yourself or read your own Bible. You'll do better. You don't have to listen to all these people.
Right.
And then you don't have to send me all the questions from all the people you're listening to.
Right.
Is this right? Is this right? I appreciate you sending them to me because I want to be able to answer it so that you don't follow that.
Mm-hmm.
But stop surfing.
Right.
Yeah.
Read your own Bible. There's a lot of lies out there.
Amen.
Okay, and they're designed to pull you away from Christ.
Yes.
And if you have things in your life you need to fix, pray and ask God to deliver you from those things.
Yes.
That's what the altar is. You bring it to the altar, mm-hmm. you pray over it, you're trying to sift it out of your life, right?
Yes.
So don't be afraid to be in relationship. You don't have to be perfect to be in a relationship, but you do have to be active.
Yes.
Okay?
Amen.
You have to be actively you and God in a relationship working things out. Praise God.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
See you when, Pastor?
When we gonna see who?
Wednesday.
Are we gonna be? Oh yeah, because we don't hear. See you Wednesday and Thursday, but don't tell them.
Yeah.
All right.
Amen. Amen. We gotta make it happen, y'all.
Okay, hallelujah.
That was a great message.
Praise God.